And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate you guys joining us for another episode. We just wrapped up a lengthy one. Lots going on in this man's world. And we're going to start number two. This one's going to be mostly about infrastructure and capital outlay. Actually, I'm going to let this gentleman, I'm going to let him introduce himself, but I'm going to let him determine the pace on this particular one because it's just a lot of data here. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself real quick, sir?
Yes. Thank you again, McHugh, for having me here today. I'm Representative Buddy Mincy, Jr. I represent District 71, which is in the Dem Springs and the Walker area.
Yes, sir. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, please go to www.livingstonparishnews.com/podcast, or you can go to our Facebook page and watch our lengthy discussion about all sorts of bills that you passed this past legislative session 2022. Now we're going to be talking about infrastructure. I've got a couple of questions pinned down here, but I'm gonna let you dictate the terms on this one. So you go ahead.
Absolutely. Infrastructure has been one of my greatest priorities since I've been a member of the legislature. But it was also infrastructure facilities was a big priority for me as a school board member for 13 years as well. So this is something I've really worked hard on, and we've got a lot of progress from the flood protection, also in our roads and also in broadband. And I'm just going to go through. We had a lightning round in the chamber event recently. We went through this and kind of do the same thing. I'll just kind of give you an update on some of the flood protection efforts that we have. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about doing the Amit River Diversion Canal Weir repair. And, there was some efforts to fund that through some other sources, and that kind of got bogged down. So worked with Speaker Shake Snyder, and we secured $10 million to help out with that Amit River Diversion Canal Weir repair. And that's basically just going to repair it back to its original construction. We also worked with Senator White. We got $8 million allocated for the Amit River Basin Commission. So we talked in a previous legislation about previous legislation earlier, and we actually funded $8 million in there to give that Amit River Basin Commission a good start to develop their plans and to do some things administratively. And then just some other updates on infrastructure before we move forward. Dredging of the Amit and Blind Rivers. You know, that thing has been funded. It's been hanging out there waiting on permits for a while. You know, they're going to dredge those mouths just for navigation purposes. It's not going to help with flow, but those should be completed in the fall of this year.
Question about, this is one of the questions I marked off. You know, a lot of people don't know. I'm not sure if the Comete has the same designation, but the Amite is a quote-unquote scenic waterway, and it's also a floodway. And so, dredging and desnagging, and I kind of like for you to define desnagging because I hear a lot of different things. But that it's difficult. It's difficult to get it done in a place like that. Talk a little bit about why people might not have been seeing some of that dredging. You know, because everybody's saying dredge Amy River. Well, because of certain federal and state level laws, it's not that simple. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your experience since you've gotten involved at this level.
Yeah, so I'm on Natural Resources Committee, and we actually discussed this in our legislation. But the Comete actually has portions of the Comete, which is it's the Louisiana Scenic Rivers Act. It's protected by the Louisiana Scenic Rivers Act, so you can't go in there and dredge unless you get some type of waiver. There was actually, there's some talk about, some legislation that was done recently by a legislator that actually authorized the dredging or the desnagging and cleaning of the Amites and Comites. I think there's a little confusion there. There was actually nothing authorized to do that. The only legislation that I'm aware of that was passed was in 2021. They had a bill that was passed that extended an existing waiver from that Scenic Waters Act for portions of the Comete. I don't think, our concern of the Amit River is actually protected by the Scenic Rivers Act. Maybe farther north, I don't know that. But the Amit River in that piece of legislation was not even mentioned. It was only about portions of the Comete River.
Gotcha. And again, that it's important to note that those, we learned that here at the news about a year and a half ago, that you know, dredging and desnagging, which desnagging is mostly removing vegetation, correct?
Well, you're going to go in. I mean, look, are both of these, both A meat and Co meat, you have, you know, your banks are caving in. You've got debris falling in from the natural vegetation along both of those rivers, but also all the things that are being floated in there from floods and that type of thing. So the cleaning and desnagging is actually leaving the existing, you know, the existing basin of those canals along and just pulling basically debris out of it, if you will. So, you know, in order to dredge something, you have to clean it and desnag it. So for me, it's almost one and the same, but, you know, it's all about funding. So a lot of times you'll have funding to go in and dredge something and or to desnag it and clean it. And then you hopefully you can come back and dredge it later on if you can justify it and you can get the permits to do that with.
Gotcha. So going to be, you know, I know a lot of people would love for them to show up tomorrow and start dredging and desnagging the A-meat. Not that simple. And you and I may agree with them that those rules aren't very fair and aren't very fun, but them's the rules.
Yeah, and just to clarify, there are efforts to do some desnagging and cleaning in the co-meat, and hopefully we'll have something coming up in the A-meat, you know, eventually. But, you know, I think the East Baton Rouge is doing some things to work towards that.
So moving into capital outlay, which is mostly, river-based infrastructure, and there's a lot here. We're looking at 2.5 pages of that before we even get into broadband. So. Kind of like we got started with the drainage stuff, I'm going to let you take it away.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of questions when we get to the next page.
I'm going to go and just go through this and just give you some highlights of some capital outlay that we have on the books and some other infrastructure projects. The roundabout at LA 64 and 1019, this is at Frog's, you know, right at the convenience store gas station right there at Magnolia Beach Road. You know, that roundabout was previously in capital outlay and was line item vetoed by the governor. And Senator Pope and I worked together and we got it added back in the capital outlay in 2020. We've got that funded. We got $2.675 million for it. And the projected date of letting that is going to be December of 2025. There's also a roundabout at Eden Church Road in 1026 at Lockhart. That's scheduled to be let out the spring of 2023, next year. We've also got in the area roundabout at 447 Walker North and Arnold Road. This study was completed in 2022, you know, the first of this year. Actually, Senator Pope and Dale Erty asked for that to be studied in 2019, and we added that in the capital outlay in 2022. So it's got $2.5 million set up there. So that was actually, you know, started in 2019, and that we should be moving along on that and pretty good.
So wanted to stop you real quick on that one because that's where one of my questions came up. You've got I got two questions on this one actually. The first one is it's a multi-phase project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the phases that you're expecting.
Well, actually, on this is just a roundabout that we're talking about that's already in place.
Okay,
there was a piece of a resolution that was passed in 2022. That basically asked for a study to be done, but the study was already completed at that time. But Senator or Representative Robbie Carter up in St. Helena actually amended that resolution and asked for them to study the four laning of 16 going up north. So that might be what you're talking about. So there's two parts there. There in that resolution, there's a study of the roundabout, which already been completed, and there's also the widening of 16. From I guess Watson all the way up to St. Helena. So that might be what you're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it drops to two lanes right there north of I believe that's 1026. So looking for more traffic flow going up there, which probably helped with the high school,
absolutely,
among other things.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the next one's interesting. Mr. David Gray has been covering this. Southside Mega Campus does look like it's going to get open
for
the 2022-2023 school year. Some concerns about traffic in the area and your next project, that's going to try to handle some of that.
Yeah, you know, as a school board member, when we just had the Southside Junior High campus there alone, when we were letting kids in and taking kids out, the carpool would shut down Highway 16. So, you know, I was still on a school board after the flood, and we, decided to move both the Southside Elementary and the Junior High campus there at the same spot, knowing that there was going to be traffic issues. So we designed a big, huge wraparound drive around, you know, they're going to offset their schedules to where they, when they're taking in different times and letting out at different times. But we got a tremendous wraparound drive, similar like we have. It's actually bigger than we have at Juven Park Elementary and their junior high. But then we also put in a request. My last year as a school board, we put in a request for a turning lane. And when I became a legislator in 2020, we added it to the capital outlay. So that's $1 million turning lane that is basically completed. There's some striping issues that we're still working on. But, you know, the school will open, thankfully, opening day, and the turning lane will be in place.
Opening day sounds like baseball. I like it.
Yep.
Next, this actually not far from the Southside Mega Campus. You just go right over the interstate. Cook Road Extension. They've already started clearing the area right there at Cook Road to put in a roundabout, which is going to come that would be on the west side, which would be on Pete's Highway. But that's finally happening. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
You know, that project, you know, started 12 years ago, and you know, as we had groundbreaking, I think in June of this year. And they have, the contractor's moving really fast. He's grubbing it. Then we'll have to relocate some utilities. But you know, that project is completely funded. And the last component of that was, I think, about $3 million that Senator Pope and I was able to get in the capital outlay. So we've got that project funded, and it's actually under construction.
Moving on to, you're going to have to, because 4-H Club Road and 1032, I mean, tell us a little bit about, this seems very ambitious. It's a partial interchange at I-12, correct?
And
that's
part
something.
Of it.
Yeah, that's part of what you're looking to do. So tell, big road, you live off of it. Tell us a little bit about what you're hoping to do off of 4-H Club Road.
In Livingston Parish, you know, 2/3 of our, you know, our the people that we have living here work outside our parish. So we're still a bedroom community, and a lot of people use that interstate. And in my district, you've got four arteries that really, you know, feed on and off that interstate. You've got 4-H Club Road, you've got Range, you've got Juven, and you've got 447. You know, we've been meeting, you know, I say we, Senator Pope and I have been meeting for about a year and a half with architects and our engineers, City of Walker, City of Denham. We brought in DOTD, and we've had Capital Region Planning Commission there. And we took those sporadic meetings to actually about the last 6 or 7, 8 months, we've been meeting monthly. And we're trying to put together a comprehensive plan on how to address this whole area and what our infrastructure looks like. And we're trying to identify our priorities, and we're trying to identify how they align and how they sequence with each other. And we're doing that so then we can go after funding. And, you know, many years ago, there was a push to put an interchange at Pete's Highway. And, you know, that was shut down. But before it was shut down, you know, we had some public meetings, and they actually had some plans. We sat there, we looked at the plans, and there was a whole bunch of, I think there was three options. And once we had that public meeting, you know, it just basically dissipated. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to open up those conversations again and really put together a plan on how we're going to address it. But for 4-H Club Road, I mean, right now there's a need on 4-H Club Road. You know, you've got a lot of traffic issues at Bass Pro, at Vincent, and then, of course, at 190 when it ties into, 4-H ties into 190. But we're actually looking at studying all of those areas, those three areas, and looking at trying to do a half an interchange or something like that. This is something that was talked about a long time ago. It's my understanding that whenever those conversations were taking place, that there was some justifications for that at that time. And of course, if you look at how much we've grown since then, and then you look at the growth that's coming down 4-H Club Road with 3,000, you know, scheduled places down there, homes, you know, there's absolutely a need. So we've looked at 4-H Club Road, and we do have some things that we're absolutely working on. I can just continue if you want.
Go ahead.
You know, we go from there, then we're going to go to, you know, you go to Range. So Range has, you know, there's about 6 or 7 components of Range that go together that have to be in place to improve that. And, you know, anything you do around Range, around the interstate is problematic, and we're actually working on those, and we have some things in place. Juven Road, talk about Juven Road. So right now we've got Juven widening from the interstate to 190. That's under construction. They've run into some issues. They have some utility relocations, but they also discovered some new utilities. I think there's a water line a utility line, and actually a natural gas line that they're working on right now to try to relocate. But that is under construction. It's been let, and it's ongoing. The roundabout at Juban and 190, that's been a big issue for so many of us. That roundabout, it was let in February of 2018. There was a tremendous delay in utility relocations. Just to give you an example, Energy, it was scheduled to take 90 days to relocate. It took 962 days to relocate. AT&T, 357 days. It took 778 days. So, you know, then you had COVID, then you had inflation. The utilities were actually relocated in February of 2021, but it put the contractor into a spot where there was a much larger additional cost for construction. So it put them at odds with what the contract was. And since it was relocated in February 2021, they've been trying to negotiate with the state to get that roundabout back online. I'm told that they're real close to having that gone and to approve on both parties, and hopefully we get that roundabout started back up again. And then, you know, just to extend on Juban, you know, you've got the extension from the Juban North extension. We're going from 190 to Lockhart. You know, that's a project that's been on the books for a long time, and it's kind of just been, you know, for funding issues and different things, it's kind of just been shelved a little bit, but it's been actively worked. Some money has been secured. You know, in 2021, it became my number one priority. I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, and I made it my number one priority, and we went after funding for it. So we actually were able to secure another $6.7 million for that. So that project is funded. It's funded right now. It's completely funded. It's going to have four lanes and sidewalks, and we look forward to that project being put together. Then we'll go to 447. So 447, you know, it's on the eastern part of my boundary in my district. But it is a main artery to I-12. You got the hospital right there. You have a lot of issues. Going south from I-12, going south, you know, Senator Pope and I have worked together, and we've got $27.7 million allocated to four-lane 447 from I-12 to Buddy Ellis, and then we're going three-lane it to Joe May Road. So that's going to help tremendously with that southern issue on 447. And then the only other issue that we're going to have is the bridge at 447. We're estimating right now there's about a $10 million request to widen that bridge. It's still going through some design issues, but we're actually trying to secure some federal funding to get that funded. So, you know, our efforts, now look, we have needs throughout the parish. There's so many needs, and priorities basically a perspective of who you are and where you live at and the areas that you hit. And we're tasked with trying to have a limited amount of funding and try to identify those priorities. So we've hit those four arteries, and we've made a lot of progress on them.
And it is important to note that, you know, when you're dealing with traffic getting on I-12, typically, for the most part, it's going to affect everyone else.
Correct.
Helping get people on the I-12 off of surface streets, or getting off I-12 and getting on the surface streets and where they need to go, is probably, especially at the state level, the first place to start.
Yeah, and we're not limited just to those arteries, but that's really kind of where that focus is, you know, right now when you look at limited funding. And we're trying to have connectors in between and that type of thing. We're looking comprehensively at the area. But again, those meetings that we're having monthly, we're actually making some pretty good progress on those meetings. So I look forward to what we put together going forward.
Sure. Getting into the last section, this is broadband. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was a big push from the governor. And, you know, supported by Livingston Parish because, well, there was federal funds made available, but a big push by Livingston Parish, as we learned during COVID, quite a large section of Livingston Parish goes without any kind of broadband. And, of course, learned that through the school system, which is, of course, your bailiwick. You established a task force out here looking into those things, you know, putting out surveys, holding public meetings, that sort of thing. They're called gumbo grants, I believe.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about what has come through so far with regard to these gumbo grants.
So there was $176 million initially allocated for the gumbo grants. I think 90 was allocated in 2022. The balance is going to be in next year. And, you know, there's, you know, our parish, you mentioned how unserved we are. I think it's estimated that 40% of our parish is unserved. And when you look at, you know, the things that, I mean, it just really, COVID just highlighted that service or lack of service from the standpoint of our people trying to do, you know, schoolwork at home or college students. parents working from home, businesses and that type of thing. So there's absolutely a need for our parish. You know, that these gumbo grants are competitive, and I don't think that we had a really good voice for going after those grants. You know, our vendors, you know, it's all about, you know, the benefit analysis that they make and how much they want to make in investments and capital improvements in this area. So what we did was we put together a committee. It's called Linked Up Livingston Committee, and it's chaired by Jack Varnado. And we asked them to work through that process and try to work with our vendors and work with the state and try to make us competitive as a parish. And when we were told up front that we were basically not going to be successful, we actually had a success of a charter, got a gumbo grant of about $3 million. Together, it's about a $3 million. It's going to benefit about 500 homes. We don't know yet where that's going to be. They're very, very discreet and protective of where that their information out. But, you know, the committee is actually working towards going after next round too. And you know, speaking with Chairman Varnado and some of the members of the committee, we're actually in the process of trying to move that conversation. But in addition to the investment in infrastructure, of broadband infrastructure, there's also a digital literacy component. And, you know, we tried to put ourselves in a position to where we were advocating as best we could. And so there were five parishes in the state that were selected to be a pilot program. And Livingston Parish is one of them. So there are some monies that are going to be going to our library, and they are going to be working towards digital literacy. So the committee's done a phenomenal job. We got some great folks on it, and if we've already been successful with the gumbo grants, we're going to go after some more. But we're working on the digital literacy component as well. And then one more thing on the broadband. I've also been working with some folks on bringing a tower to our parish, a cell tower. And we're looking at a 500-foot tower that's going to be coming to the parish. It's going to have a radius of about 35 miles. And depending upon what is put on it, it could strategically service the whole parish. So, those three areas for me have all been very important: our flood protection, our roads and our infrastructure, and then also in broadbands. I've been very active in trying to secure funding for all three of those. And I'm real happy with what we've been able to do, but we got a lot more work ahead of us.
Yeah. So all sorts of stuff, infrastructure-wise, coming out from the legislature and from yourself. We are going to take another break. We'll be moving into your educational summits, which have been quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. We talked about it in the last one. Last podcast about your legislative efforts that you've brought a lot of people out here. We're going to talk about that next. So appreciate you guys out there for joining us. We're going to let this man introduce himself real quick.
Buddy Mincy Jr., District 71, state rep, representing the Dim Springs and Walker area.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate you guys out there for joining us for the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show. Please remember the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We appreciate you joining us, and we're going to see you next time.